Amen. Good evening, everybody. Were you blessed by the worship? Yes. Let's give the Lord a big hand, please. All right, who's here for the first time? You've never been here before. Welcome, welcome. Who else? Welcome. All right. What are these meetings about? Who can help me? They're about revival. Please say with me, revival. Is coming, whether Springs likes it or not. Can somebody please smile? That's good news. Who is here tonight that needs revival in their life? I'm very disappointed. I was expecting a couple of you to do this. Amen? Do you believe God wants to give you revival? Do you believe that it's on the Father's heart to grant you revival? The Bible says if we ask Him, He will give it to us. So I want you to pray this with me. Raise your hands and pray this with me. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I come before your throne and I boldly ask you, please grant me, my family, my children, my church, my area, revival. Please, Lord, pour out your fire. Pour out your power, pour out your spirit, and grant us revival. I praise you for this now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Right now, we're going to do a song entitled Revival. We're going to do the short version, not the long version, because the long version takes forever. We're going to do the short version now. Listen to me carefully. Listen to me carefully. There is something that happens when we begin to praise God. And there is a way to do things through music that you cannot do any other way. How many of you know that God created music? A while ago, we did a series here on Satan's influence in music. Who of you were here? Did you learn something? Well, you see, music is not a bad thing. Music is a good thing. It was created by God for God. It is the number one way to bless God. And tonight, we are trusting God for revival. We have already prayed about it. Now we are going to praise about it. Amen? Say with me, we are going to praise about it. Gina.
Precious and the morning sweet.
Revive us with your fire. Amen. Revive us with your fire. All right. Jesus called disciples that used to be fishermen. And he said to them, from now on, you will no longer be known as fishermen, but as fishers of men. Can there be revival if people don't get saved? Does God just give us revival so that we can all feel good in the church and all have some supernatural experience and be blessed? Is revival about a bless me club? No. Revival is about the fire of God going to places where it is not. And you are to go and light fires. Please wave and say, I want to be a fire starter. Listen to me carefully. I've said this to you before. But when the devil looks at you, he must say, Beelzebub, bring my welding goggles. Amen. 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 Come, give the Lord a big hand of praise. Now, you cannot be a fisher of men if you don't have a net to catch them with. So you have everything you need. How many of you know that God never fails? He doesn't fail to plan and he doesn't fail to execute because God is perfect. When Jesus died on the cross, he said these words, it is finished. In the Greek, he simply said, it is perfectly perfect. Everything is perfect. You are equipped. You have everything that you need to be a fire starter. You have everything you need to take the darkness and kick its butt. Now inside your hand, put up your right hand. I know you've never seen it before. You don't always see spiritual things. It's just there. We have to do these things by faith. The Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. In your hand, you have a net. Say, Lord, thank you for my net. If you're here for the first time, we are not crazy. We just act by faith. Amen. I know there's a fine line between the two, but we still have a lot of faith. Amen. Amen. Right now, so shake your net and say, Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Lord, in the name of Jesus.
This net will not gather dust. This net is going to work. This net will not come back empty. Because Lord, you will guide it. Now I want you to take that net and I want you to cast it out. Right. As you cast it out, you know a lot of people that are not saved. I want you to say their names. Come on, don't be afraid and don't be ashamed. You say the names of all of the people that you know. The people at work that are always giving you a hard time. Your neighbor that plays his music till who knows what time of the night. That woman that's making eyes at your husband. You bring them before God. They need to get saved. Amen? A lot of people don't know what they are doing is wrong because they are not saved. Because they don't have the Spirit of God inside of them to bring them conviction. Amen. Now, you've cast out your net. What must you do now? You're going to pull it in. Now I want you to say this with me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Tonight by faith, I claim every person that I just mentioned for the kingdom of God. Now, devil, let them go. All right, now before you start pulling in, I want you to do something. Jesus said, behold, I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So you need to step on some devil bat now. Take your foot and begin to put it down. And I want you to say, every devil, every demon, every spirit, every curse that refuses to release these people into the kingdom of God. Get under my feet now. Release them now. In Jesus' name now. Pull them in. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Lord, we thank you for revival. We thank you for the fire of God that spreads. We thank you that a volcano erupts in this area and that everywhere the fire lands, the fire starts burning. We praise you for this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Give the Lord a big hand of praise, please. Thank you very much. You may be seated. We are trusting God for revival. We are trusting God to make the supernatural natural. Listen to me carefully. You have been called to live a supernatural life. Maybe you never saw it this way before. I am here tonight to tell you your calling is supernatural. The one that called you is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. Amen. And he is supernatural. And he has equipped you with his supernatural power, the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, every day of your life is a supernatural day. We serve not a Mickey Mouse God. We don't bow to some worthless idol or statue. We serve the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We bow before the great I Am who created the world by speaking a word. Amen. If he spoke one word to create the world, he can speak one word and open the door that has been shut for you. For how long? For a long time. He can speak one word and an opportunity can come where right now you have not seen opportunity. He can speak one word and that big devil that's been against you, that's been working against you and making you, what's the word with the ksuk? Disappointed. That thing that's been working against you, that's been holding you back. That thing that's been causing destruction. One word and it's gone. Look at your neighbor and say, one word from God is all it takes. Now listen to me carefully. What God do you believe in? Because you see, a lot of us, we believe in a God that used to be able to do things. But apparently, these days he's become sort of impotent. You know, his power is diminished for some weird reason. Apparently, only the Apostle Paul needed it, and the Apostle Peter needed it, and of course Jesus needed it, and today it's no longer needed. Have you looked around? Have you noticed the state that this world is in? If God doesn't take charge, how do you think things are going to change? Do you really think the police can get on top of it? Do you think our government can get on top of it? This is not comedy hour, all right? They're not going to do nothing to change anything. If anything is going to change, it's going to be because of the supernatural hand of God moving through this area, moving through this place. If he's done it before, please explain to me, why will he not do it again? Amen? If there have been revivals before, if the power of God has been poured out before, and God has brought about change because people were willing to trust him and believe in him, why on earth would he suddenly change his mind? I want you to raise your hands and say, Father, today, I choose to believe that I and my family and my area, we are worthy to receive revival. You can put your hand down. I want you to listen to me. Because people don't experience the power of God, a lot of them just don't think, well, why should he do it for me? Well, he died for you, didn't he? Was there some weird exclusion when God sent his son? Was there something that said he won't do it for the Afrikaner? No. Was there some weird thing that said, no, the Portuguese people, they must just make a plan themselves? Was there something that said the Zulu or the Khoza or whoever has to just live with their problems? No. When Jesus Christ gave his life, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Listen to what he says. It is not God's heart for you and I to be perishing, but it is God's heart for you and I to live what the Bible calls eternal life. Where is eternal life? Eternal life is in you. Your spirit cannot die. The spirit is life. You will spend eternity either with God or you will spend it with the evil one, depending on the decisions that you've made and depending on the life that you live. But I want you to understand something. A lot of people are waiting for one day to get to heaven so that they can feel better about themselves. One day to get to heaven so that they no longer have fears and anxiety and feel hopeless and are full of despair and despondency and dejection. Are waiting for one day so that their body can feel better. Waiting for one day so that they can have hope. If that is your expectation, I've got news for you. You are wrong. For the kingdom of God exists not in heaven. The Bible says the kingdom of God is within you. Look at your neighbor and say, there's more to you than meets the eye. Now look at your other neighbor and say, that goes for you as well. There is more to you than meets the eye. Listen to what Jesus said. The kingdom of God is within you. Now, if the kingdom of God is within you, my friend, listen to me carefully. If the kingdom of God is within you, then hope lives within you. Amen? Hope is within you. Was there any situation Jesus couldn't deal with? So why should you have situations you can't deal with? You know, when we experience situations we can't deal with, when we don't believe in the supernatural power of God. Because then you have to fix it in the flesh. There are many things that the flesh can't sort out. Some marriages are past the point that just saying sorry will fix it. Do you know what I'm talking about? But does that mean God can't fix it? Some people have diseases that the doctors can't even pronounce. Never mind cure. Would you agree with me that Jesus could cure it? And so the Spirit and the kingdom of God lives within you. So why is it a problem? Why is it a problem? It's a problem because we don't have an expectation. It's a problem because we don't believe in a supernatural God. We've come to the point that we believe in a watered down God that can't do things. We just have to accept our lot in life and we just have to go through life that way because one day things will get better when we go to heaven. A lot of people commit suicide because they just can't wait to get there. The life down here, there's too many problems, there's too many issues, things are not going to change. They believe in a watered down God. But that's not the way God portrays himself when you read the Bible, my friend. Did you notice that the Bible says in Hebrews 13:8 that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? If God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then the same God that worked through Jesus is still working today. The same God that worked through Peter and Paul and John and Luke and all of those guys is still working today. The same God that was working when the disciples walked in and their shadows fell on people and people were healed is still working today. The same God whose anointing could go on a rag, a piece of cloth, and it would touch somebody. That same God is still alive and well today. Jesus made a statement once and he said, when the Son of Man returns, will he still find faith on the earth? Even in those days, with what they saw Jesus doing, people battled to have the faith to believe in the power of God. And that's where we have a big problem. It's one thing to read about these things and smile when you read it. It's another thing to believe it and trust God for the same things to happen today. I want to tell you something, my friend. God is waiting for a generation that is willing to take him at his word, put their foot down and say, I believe. The devil likes to work through doubt. How many times have you heard a sermon that has spoken to you? Come follow me now. You sat in church, you listened to a sermon, it spoke to you. Before you leave the door, there's already a doubt. Maybe that's not the way it should be interpreted. Maybe God doesn't really mean me. Maybe it was only for the people back then. I'm not good enough. I'm not special enough. You know, I'm some special exclusion. Has that happened to you before? Be honest. It has happened to all of us. Satan cannot change who God is, but he changes your perception of who God is. To a lot of people sitting in the church, God simply cannot do these things anymore. It happened back then, but it doesn't happen now. Says who? Some man or some devil told you that. But the word of God does not tell you that. Say to somebody, I'm excited. Because the truth will set me free. Now look at your other neighbor and say, no, I'm very excited. Because my God lives. Now please give the Lord a big hand of praise. I want you to listen to me carefully. My friend, we serve a supernatural God. What does the word supernatural say to you? Let's take the super away and just look at natural. What does the word natural say to you? Just come stand here for me, please. What is your name? Okay, this is Paul. It's not the same Paul as in the Bible, but he can do pretty much what the Paul in the Bible did. Amen? Now, just raise your hand. That is natural. Can that flesh, can it heal? No. I'm going to show you it can't heal. Who can I call? You. Come forward for me, please. Pierre, come, run, boy, run. This is flesh. Can this flesh do anything for her? No, I'm going to show you. Flesh, touch her. It's not doing anything. Right. Raise your hand. Say with me, Holy Spirit, I want to be your vessel. I trust in you, Lord Jesus. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. That's close enough. God knows what he meant. Right. You want to be a vessel? Touch her. What happened there? What happened there? All right. Whoopsie. Now you started something. Now how am I going to get her quiet now? Now some of you stand here, you're thinking, oh, you know what, these people they're putting on, they organized this thing. You know, me and him, we've got each other's. Do I have your phone number? No. Did I phone you and make a plan and say I'm going to call you forward? Did I tell you that you must do that? No? Why are you laughing? Is something funny? Is it my shoes? These are my revival shoes, okay? I bought them because there's red and there's yellow and there's orange in there and I want fire in this place. Amen. Bless God. All right, now, do me a favor. Come stand. No, okay, wait, you know what? Don't let her get up yet. I'm going to give you my microphone. And I want you to tell the people what you felt when this man touched you.
I felt, I started feeling a lot of heat throughout my body, from the top of my head right down to my toes. And it was like something.
We have to check.
No menopause. And I just felt this impact just going back, and I lost balance and fell back.
Amen. Ah, come on, give the Lord a big hand of praise then. Stand up for me, please. All right. When the flesh touched her, nothing happened. When the power of God touched her, instantly something began to happen. Do you hear what I'm saying? Instantly something began to happen. That arose. Come here for me. Come, we have to check and see whether this was just a fluke, eh? Because some people are thinking, ah, you know what, it was just his strong masculine presence, you know. Are you hot? You're boiling. All right, sit down for me. Sit down for me. That's fine. Right. You want to be a vessel? You want God to use you? You want God to work through you? His anointing is upon you right now. I don't want you to touch her. Just stretch out your hand towards her. Just hold it there. Just hold it there. Oops. 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 Wow. I don't know what's going to happen when he looks deep into your eyes tonight, but there's going to be fire. Eh? There's going to be sparks. Amen. Revival in the marriage. Amen. God is good. Can somebody give the Lord a big hand, man? Do we serve an awesome God? Do we serve a powerful God? Does God still use people? There's people out there that will tell you, these things can't happen. You've seen it with your own eyes. You know that you know that you know that God is real. That God is not a liar. Listen to me carefully. It was Jesus that said in the last, no, it wasn't really Jesus. It was the apostle Paul that said, in the last days, says the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. You don't just have to trust in the flesh if the spirit has come upon you. Do you hear what I'm saying? You are either flesh or spirit. And the only way for you to be spirit is if the Holy Spirit has come upon you. What you saw happen tonight with this man, Paul, is the power of the Holy Spirit began to come upon him and work through him. We are vessels. We are channels that channel the anointing, the power, the healing, the restoration, the deliverance that God gives. Amen? So listen to me. Some of you, you're sitting in this church and you've got low self-esteem. You don't like yourself. Drop your attitude. When the devil sees you, he sees someone dangerous. Amen? When the devil sees you, he sees a threat. When God sees you, he sees opportunity. He sees someone that he can use. There are no special people in the kingdom of God. Everyone is special, including the people sitting here tonight that don't believe God can use them. Why not? Did you read your Bible? If God could use a donkey, why can't he use you? Amen? Hello? I'm pretty sure it takes a bit less anointing to use you than it did to use that donkey. Amen? Amen? You may sit down. Thank you. All right. How are you feeling now? You are very hot. Get up for me, please. All right. Now I'm going to show you something. Paul asked the Lord to work through him and use him. Paul touched her and she started feeling heat. What is the heat all about? Ah, I'm going to read you a scripture here. Take your safety belt. Come, do this by faith. Take your safety belt and put it on. Amen. Because things are going to happen. Say to your neighbor, ooh, something is coming. Ah, something is coming. Right, now, Luke chapter 12, verse 49. This blew me away. Listen to this. Jesus is the one speaking. He says, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. For those that don't understand what that means, he says, I have come to bring fire on the earth. How I wish it has already started. Jesus did not have a shortage of fire. Where he went, the devils freaked out. If Jesus came into many churches today, they wouldn't even have him there because they would say, oh, that is chaos. Chaos for you and chaos for God is two different things. Chaos for God is when people get together and he's not there. Hello? Chaos for God is not when the power of God begins to move and people get healed and people get set free. Even though you perceive that as chaos, to God, that is order in the kingdom of God. For God, chaos is when we get together, we have a happy, bless me club, but we go home and God was never allowed to do nothing. And that's just sad. Now, Jesus says, I have come to bring fire on the earth. If I was to ask you tonight, why did Jesus come to the earth? What would you say? Okay, now you know the answer, of course. He's a very clever Oakless. Excluding the scripture, what would you say? Why did Jesus come to the earth? To bring salvation. Paul? Give me another reason. Why did Jesus come to the earth? Come, there's many. He came to set the captives free. The Bible says in the book of 1 John chapter 3 verse 8, for this reason the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. We know that Jesus came to bring salvation, but Jesus did not just come to bring salvation, my friend. Jesus also came to set the captives free. Can I tell you what the problem is in the church today? We are willing to trust God for salvation, but we are not willing to trust him for the other things he also sent his son to come and do. If you only trust God for salvation, that's all you will experience. But there are other benefits that come with salvation. They include healing, they include deliverance, and they include the fire. Can you do anything for anybody else in yourself? No. Have you ever seen what happens when you take one stick burning with fire and you touch it to another stick burning with fire? What happens? So you better be burning if you want somebody else to start burning. We sang a song just now called Revival. The song spoke about the preacher preaching from an empty well. Today we've got a lot of people in ministry positions going from place to place wanting to bring fire, but they don't bring fire to the place. Will there be fire? Will there be change? Will there be breakthrough? Will there be healing? Will there be restoration? Will there be revival? No, 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 no. Listen to what Jesus said. I have come to bring fire on the earth. Ooh. Every devil in you is freaking out right now. Amen. Jesus came. One of the purposes of him coming to the earth was to bring fire to the earth. And then he says this, and how I wish it has already started. He came to bring fire. He never had a shortage of fire. But what he's talking about now is not him having the fire, but us having the fire. Amen. What he's saying there is, he came to bring fire. The reason he says the fire hasn't started yet, because the fire only came after he went back to be with God. After Jesus was taken by the angels, he went on a cloud to be with God. He spoke to the disciples and he said to them, do not leave Jerusalem. Wait for the power of God to come. How did the power of God come on the day of Pentecost? Through fire. What did Jesus say? Why did he come to the earth? To bring fire. Say with me, Jesus came to bring fire. Say it again. Now I want you to change one thing crucially. Jesus came to bring me fire. Who of you really believe that? Right. Lady, come here. You, come here. Jesus came to bring fire. Why did he come to bring fire? Because it is the fire of God that changes things. Now, just so that you understand this, the fire of God is not the same as the fire that you make on a Sunday afternoon to have a barbecue or a braai or whatever. It's very different. You can't put your hand in that fire. You will get burned. But the fire of God can burn in you, it can burn around you, it can burn through you, and you won't feel a thing. But whatever you touch something is going to happen. Whenever you speak, something is going to happen. Why? Because that fire is supernatural. That fire is the power of God being released. Amen. Now, ma'am, you want that fire? Come stand here. Face her. Right. Before you really do anything, how are you feeling?
Very hot and I'm shaking.
You're hot and you're shaking. All right. And you're not on some weird pills that I should know about. You're actually fine. You're in perfect health. So something strange is happening to you. All right. Now, when Paul touched her and the fire of God worked in him, the fire touched her. So now, is she burning now? Yes or no? She's burning. Please say to her husband, calm down. She's going to be fine. In fact, she's going to be better. You can feel it. Oh, wow. She's standing in front of her and she feels hot. This is not a female thing. Please understand. It's not a female thing. Stretch out your hand and touch her. Just touch her. There we go. There we go. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. All right. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. What did you feel when you touched her?
I was so boiling hot. I just felt this heat going through me into my hand.
You felt the heat go through you? Amen. And you could actually feel it go?
I could just feel
the
intense heat going through my hand.
Have you ever felt something like that before?
Absolutely not.
Ah, come on, give the Lord a big hand. If you want to know what Jesus' heart is for you and for me tonight, I want you to listen to the scripture and I want you to take it to heart. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it has already started. Jesus' wish was that the fire would spread. Amen? Jesus' wish was that the fire would spread. Can I tell you why the fire has to spread? Because you can't bring people to salvation unless the fire of God touches them. You can't bring change into a church unless the fire of God begins to burn in that church. Jesus sent the disciples out and he said, go and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen. And he said, as you go, lay hands on the sick and they will get better. Cast out devils, etc., etc. The gospel is called in the Bible the good news. Can I tell you when it becomes the good news? When it is accompanied with fire. If you don't have fire, it's not good news. Because it's got no power. Listen to me. If the fire isn't there, there is no power. If the power isn't there, there will be no change. The fire comes from the Holy Spirit. Now, let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, when he works in a church, he brings what we call conviction into the church. Have you ever said to somebody, you are wrong? What is their reaction? You must be crazy. Who do you think you are? Sometimes they don't even say something, they just clap. Twar. Because people don't like people to tell them that they are wrong. I showed you last week that John the Baptist was a very interesting preacher. He was the type of preacher you don't hear about often today. Because John had only one message, and John's message was a message of repentance. John preached a message of repentance. Who can help me? What does repentance mean? Repentance means change. The one thing most people don't like. Come on, be honest with me. Who of you like change? A young man put his hand up at the back there. It's only because he didn't understand the question. Yeah. All of you can testify to this. You don't like change. And when somebody comes and sort of tells you, you have to change, you get yourself all like, you know, what you're talking about. It's not necessary. Now, I'm not going to that church again. That oak just keeps stepping on my toes. I spoke to a pastor friend of mine the other day. True story. He says to me, a man came to him the other day and said to him, look, I have to leave your church. I can't stay here anymore. The pastor said, well, why do you have to leave? What's the problem? No, I don't like the way that you preach. He said, well, why don't you like the way that I preach? No, because every time you preach, it's like you're telling me that I'm wrong. I have to change. I want to say 10 out of 10 for the pastor. And don't worry about the man that leaves, because if he wants to leave because of that message, let him go. What do you want me to tell you here tonight? You want me to stand here and tell you that you're perfect, you're all right, don't worry, everything's going to be cool? Uh-uh. The message that John the Baptist preached was a message of repentance. You cannot have the gospel of Jesus Christ without the message of repentance. You cannot have the gospel of Jesus Christ unless people understand that they have to change. Amen? Now, even though John preached a message of repentance, which means that he stepped on people's toes, people came from all over Israel to hear his message. Why? Because even though he preached something most people don't want to hear, he preached the good news. Say with me, good news. When you preach repentance, you preach the heart of God for his children. Hello? Say with me, when I hear a repentance message, I'm hearing the heart of God. And when you begin to honor and bless the heart of God, don't you think he's going to respond? Now, the reason you can sit in some churches and hear sermon after sermon after sermon and never change is because there is no fire and there is no power and there is no conviction. When a man tells a man to change, the other man says, who do you think you are, man? When the Holy Ghost works through that man, something starts happening inside the person that hears the message. The Bible says we get cut to the heart. Some of you have felt that before. You have sat somewhere and a message came forth and it felt like that person was talking to you and you actually felt something begin to prick your heart. Raise your hands if you felt that. Well, bless God. That can only happen when the fire of God is burning in that place. Amen. All right, ma'am, how are you feeling now?
I can't explain it.
You feeling peaceful?
It's very peaceful.
Would you say that the fire burned away half your problems?
Not half, all of it.
Amen. Well, bless God for that. Come, get up for me, please. Well, bless God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus said, when the Son of Man returns, will he still find faith upon the earth? Who of you are willing to step out in faith? I am. I am willing to step out in faith. Which means that I'm willing to trust that what he said, he meant. Amen? Now, the Bible says, a disciple is to go out and preach the good news and lay hands on people. Why did God want us to lay hands on people? Why did God want us to go out? Because what God equipped you with is not just for you, it's also for somebody else. It's also for somebody else. Who is sitting here tonight and you've had a lot of stress? You wound quite tight. Come forward quickly. Come forward. Come. You stressed. You wound. You tight. Okay. Bless God. Don't worry. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Are you all right? Oh, well, bless God. Bless God. Ooh, well, look at her feet. They're blood red. What's happening to you? You don't know, but it's good, eh? Amen. Bless God. It's good. All right, these people that have come forward now, I don't know what the story is, I don't know what the situation is, but for some reason, they feel pressure. The devil loves to give us pressure, doesn't he? He loves to make us feel like, oh, things are not going to change. You know, you feel stressed and full of pressure. Now, this lady says, when the anointing came upon her, something happened. The Bible says, the anointing breaks the yoke. Who knows what a yoke is? A yoke is a burden. Would you agree with me that stress is a burden? Anxiety is a burden. Fear is a burden. Rejection is a burden. Low self-esteem is a burden. Pressure is a burden. Now, does the devil want you to live a good, blessed life? Or does he want you to live a stressed life? Well, let's quickly look at one thing. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Would you agree with me? What is the things that he wants to steal from us? Peace, joy, happiness, your positive outlook on life, hope. How does he do that? He puts us under pressure. He uses a boss, or he uses a company, or he uses workload, he uses a wife, he uses children. And it's like pressure. If there's a lot of pressure on you, you crack easily. That's why a lot of people crack all the time. I used to have a friend when I used to be at university, his favorite saying was, "Ek krak sommer in fases." I can't explain that to you in English. But I think a lot of people know exactly what he was talking about. Do you know why some people lose it all the time? It's because they are up to here with pressure. Can the Holy Spirit take away that pressure? Because the anointing breaks the yoke. According to the Bible, some people are walking around, and if you could see into the spirit, you would see that they are walking around with this huge, big yoke around them. For in case you don't know what a yoke is what they used to use many years ago, before the Industrial Revolution, when you still used to plow with oxen. They used to take a muck, you know, the piece of wood that goes like in a Y. What do you call that? The fork. They used to take the fork of a tree, but they used to take like the thick fork of a tree. And they would put the Y upside down around the neck of the oxen, and they would tie the ropes to that, and then the oxen would take the plow forward. How many of you know that that was not a bargain for the oxen? The poor thing was definitely feeling the strain. Now the Bible says, one of the things that happens when the anointing is released is that the anointing breaks the yoke. Some people battle to go through life because they have got the yoke of fear, or the yoke of pressure, or the yoke of stress, or the yoke of anxiety or fear or whatever. And God doesn't want you to walk around with that. Tell me something. If you are stressed and you are full of pressure and you are like so highly strung that you freak out for every little thing, can you go and preach the gospel? No. Because all the devil has to do is have one taxi turn in front of you, you blow your stack, you go home and you shout at your wife. Hello? Am I lying? No. So does God want to take that away? Yes. All right. Prosy, please come. All right. Just mind her. Don't step on her. God's still busy with her. All of you, come stand in a row here. Turn around. Okay, you have to come forward, because if you fall there, you're going to get hurt. No. Just face me. There we go. Guys, come this side. Find a space. All right. The anointing breaks the yoke. Say with me, the anointing breaks the yoke. If there is anointing in this place tonight, will the yoke be destroyed? Should we have an expectation? Jesus said, according to your faith, it shall be given unto you. A lot of times when people pray, they pray with this like, you know what, maybe God will do it and maybe he won't, but I suppose I better just do something. So let me pray. Why bother? With an attitude like that, you're going to get nowhere because you're not praying with faith. You must have an expectation. Amen. You must have an expectation. All right. So now these people, they're battling with stress and they're battling with stuff. Jesus said he wishes that the fire was already there. Would he say that if he didn't know that it was possible? Come on. Did Jesus ever lie? So he says, yeah, I came to bring fire to the earth. Jesus only touched Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the area surrounding it. Was the fire reserved for that elite club there, or is the fire for everybody? Listen to what he said. Listen. I have come to bring fire on the earth. So if the fire of God was allowed to touch Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and all sorts of places out there in the east, will God also allow the fire to come to Springs? Jesus said the world. Will God allow the fire to come to Geduld? Yes. Can the fire touch Joburg? Can the fire touch the NG Kerk? I know some of you find that a big bit of a stretch, but I'm telling you it can happen. And the Baptists? That was a very unenthusiastic yes. Can the fire touch the Baptists?
Yes.
Can the fire touch the PPK?
Yes.
And the full gospel?
Yes.
Assemblies of God?
Yes.
The Catholics?
Yes.
Can the fire touch tonight?
Yes.
Yes. Will the fire touch tonight?
Yes.
No, it's already here. Amen. It's already here. Stretch out your hands towards these people. All of you, before you stretch out your hands, raise your hands and say this with me. Lord Jesus, please allow me tonight to be a vessel. Use me tonight. I want to be a fire starter. Holy Spirit, please flow through me in Jesus' name. The Bible says the anointing will break the yoke. Stretch out your hands towards these people. Break, 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 break. The anointing breaks the yoke. Somebody give the Lord a hand of praise. All right, I'm going to give some time here because God is only just starting. And I have to give him the opportunity to finish what he started. But I want to say this to you. Tonight, there's a bunch of people here in front that came into this church under the burden of pressure and anxiety and fear and stress. And when they leave this place tonight, they are going to feel different. Why does God want them to feel different? Because they have work to do. Amen. They have work to do for the kingdom. They have to be a light shining in a dark world. The fire of God destroys the yoke. Luke 12 verse 49, I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it had already started. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one you and I serve, the Lord of my life and the Lord of your life, his wish for you is that the fire would start in your life. I don't know if you realize how big these words are. He wouldn't wish for the fire to start in your life if he didn't believe it was possible for the fire to come into your life. Amen. All right. Ed, how long have I been speaking? About an hour. I have to stop now. All right. The good news is I haven't touched my sermon yet. The bad news is I'm going to try again next week. Well, bless God for that. Can somebody give the Lord a big hand, please?